You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The great God does His work in the world through Spirit-filled people.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, give us your Spirit, that we may have joy in Jesus Christ, enjoying the forgiveness of our sins and the sure hope of life. Fill our whole lives with your Spirit, that we may burn with faith and go like the wind to do the work of Christ our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Pentecost was a festival well established in the religious and cultural life of those people at the eastern end of the Mediterranean. The people gathered on that day to celebrate the bringing in of the first fruits of the winter and spring crops, giving thanks, as religious people would, to God for His goodness, and celebrating, as even secular people do, the promise of prosperity and the greater harvest to come. The word Pentecost means 50th in the Greek language. That language was spoken all over the world at the time, although it was a second language for most people. The language of their hearts, the one they learned at their mother's knee, was altogether different. And in this part of the world, not even of the same family as the Greek language. But most of them could speak Greek after a fashion, enough to make themselves understood. This was Pentecost, the 50th day after the first planting. On this Pentecost, the word 50th got a new meaning. It was also the 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Many people knew about His crucifixion, and some of them heard strange tales about His resurrection. But now, 50 days later, practically everybody had forgotten about Him. There were some who did not forget. They were there in one place, wherever that was. It was a public place because there were a lot of other people around. This group came together with a will. Not by accident, but with a purpose. They still believed in Him, now more than ever. They stayed in Jerusalem because He had told them to stay there. He promised them a special surprise, and they were waiting for His surprise. The story is told in simple words. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Pentecost is not the birthday of the Holy Spirit, as Christmas was the birthday of Jesus Christ. The coming of the Son of God, eternal in the heavens as a little baby in Bethlehem, was God's new thing in the world. He grew up and became the man that He was. He really lived. He really talked and really walked. He really ate and slept and really died. For the simple reason that He did all of that in real obedience to His Father, for all of us who are disobedient and often contemptuous of God our Father, He was raised from the dead by the glory of His Father and given a name above every name. His name is Jesus. And people are moved by the Spirit of God to call Jesus Lord. Nobody calls Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that anointed Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor also took hold of the hearts of those early believers and opened their eyes to see that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Spirit of God impressed the instruction of Jesus upon their hearts during those 40 days after his resurrection. And 10 days later, the Spirit of God brought them together with a will in this one place where the Spirit of God was going to show his hand. It was a strange happening, but no stranger than the birth of Jesus, certainly no stranger than the death of Jesus, and most certainly not stranger than the resurrection of Jesus. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Jesus, doing his thing in the world. Following the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and his ascension into heaven, the Spirit of God is the power of Jesus, doing his work in the world, forgiving sins and giving life to people. He does his work in the world through Spirit-filled people. Strange as it may seem, these people are not strangers to God, not strangers to one another, and not strangers even to people who never heard or thought about God. We were like that once ourselves, they said. But now we are no longer strangers and foreigners. We are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We are God's building, and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of that building. If Jesus Christ were not alive and well, Pentecost would still be a festival of the first fruits. Because Christ is alive and well, Pentecost is a demonstration of the power of God's Spirit in the world, with a promise of even greater things in a world to come. They were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound like an awesome wind blowing, something like the sound of the wind over the primeval waters when the earth was still a formless chaos. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Just as suddenly, there came these split flames of fire that spread to everyone who was sitting there. Each person there was touched by both the sight and the sound. They were all filled with the wind. It did not make them windbags. People who talk too much and too long. People who talk without presenting facts. People who are all talk and no action. The first followers of Jesus Christ did not become windbags, but they were filled with the wind of God's Spirit. They did speak in other languages, languages people could understand. All those strangers in Jerusalem recognized the languages they learned at their mother's knee. They were amazed and asked an understandable question. Aren't these people Galileans? How come they're speaking in our languages, the ones we learned when we were young? The catalog of those languages reads like a tour of the Mediterranean. They represent the Middle East, Europe, Africa, and the Isles of the Sea. There must be a reason that the word for spirit in the Greek language means wind. The Latin word spiritus, which we've simply taken over in English, also means wind. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God upon the world. No wonder there was a rushing, mighty, strong wind blowing that day. What the world needs is spirit-filled people today, swift like the wind, to take the word of God and bring it to people in languages they can understand. What the world needs is spirit-filled people, strong like the wind, to run up and down the streets and lanes of the world, proclaiming the good news to a world incredibly depressed and grim and lonely and gloomy. The good news of a Savior crucified and risen again. Like the wind, spirit-filled people are strong. Nothing could stop, discourage, or defeat those first spirit-filled people, followers of the Savior and their noble mission of love and mercy. Spirit-filled people are strong today. They can even control their fears and overcome their flaws. They can keep their sharp tongues and flaming tempers in check. With the Apostle Paul, they can say, in the midst of life's hardships and cruelties, we've found more than victory through him that loved us. They triumph even over the final enemy, which is death. They saw him come out of that dismal garden at the crack of the first Easter dawn, and they received the power of the Spirit he had promised. They had no reason any longer to go around hanging crepe. Instead, they went forth, laughing and leaping, shouting and singing like the super strong wind, unconquerable and invincible. Spirit-filled people are changed. Change is not all bad. If nobody could be changed, where would we be? Some people are rigidly inflexible, stubbornly bullheaded, arrogantly right about everything. In almost every case, people like that are dead wrong. Spirit-filled people accept the mysteries of life, and the greatest mystery of all, which is godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh. People like that have got to be ready for change and to be prepared to accept change, even in themselves. Jesus Christ himself said that the Spirit is like the wind. You can see the results, but you can't see the wind. The Spirit is like the wind. It blows where it listeth, he said. That's the way the Spirit is. None of us can tell the Spirit what to do. We have to accept him, and we have to recognize his power. It will come as a shock to many people that they must be changed. But that's what the Lord said. You must be born again of water and the Spirit. Spirit-filled people are not the most consistent people in the world. The only thing consistent about them is that they are always moved by the Spirit. Otherwise, you can never predict exactly what they are going to do. They will be loving where everybody else is hateful. They will forgive where everybody else is intent on getting even. They're ready to move when everybody else is standing still. They go where the fire is, not seeking out places and positions which are safe and comfortable. Spirit-filled people are fiery. When God's Spirit descended on the disciples at Pentecost, split tongues of fire sat on their heads. What happened? They were aglow with the Spirit and ablaze with God. They were fervent and fired up. Enthusiastic in the first meaning of that word, filled with God. Spirit-filled people today are energetic and passionately committed to Jesus Christ. They spend their lives being and doing for him. Who needs all those fiery people today? In a world of hate, strife, violence, and war, who needs people who are fiery and aggressive, angry and hot-tempered, making life a constant battle? Nobody needs them. But the world does need Spirit-filled people on fire with God, given to love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, patience, and self-control. Those are the gifts of the Spirit, and they characterize the lives of Spirit-filled people. The world needs fiery people on fire with God, on fire with faith, on fire with love, on fire with the power of the Spirit. The world needs people who have left behind those former days of apathetic and lukewarm commitment. It needs people who are revved up for Christ, gung-ho for God, fiery and fervent followers of Christ, dreaming impossible dreams, bearing impossible loads, fighting unbeatable foes, and marching into hell itself with a heavenly cause. The fire of the Spirit crackles with life. That's the way it is with Spirit-filled people. They are alive. They are energetic. They are active. They are vibrant. They're on the move and on the go for God. They're not out to hurt people, but to help them. They know the task is monumental and the time is short. The Spirit moves them to be God's people with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Spirit-filled people are attractive. They don't go around with long faces and set lips. They're not always shaking their heads and saying no. Their greatest word is yes. Spirit-filled fathers and mothers love their children and let their children know that they love them. Spirit-filled children love their parents and let their parents know that they love them. Spirit-filled people are real brothers and sisters, the kind that stand by to help in time of need. They have magnetic personalities. People are irresistibly drawn to them because they have compassion and love, something like the compassion and love of Jesus Christ himself. Spirit-filled people give warmth. All those outsiders stood around on that first Pentecost wondering what had happened. There was so much warmth around. They heard people speaking in languages that they understood very well, the kind that not only give meaning but warmth to familiar words. It was so strange that some people made fun of what was happening and called these new spirit-filled people drunk with new wine. They spoke differently, and they acted differently. These people spoke about a crucified and risen Savior in different languages so that everybody could understand and believe the good news. Spirit-filled people have got a new language. It isn't only that they can speak different languages, as these did in the power of the Spirit, but that they can talk an entirely different language. Even that is changed. There's no more foul, filthy, sharp, profane, vicious wounding with words. Spirit-filled people speak words that heal and gladden and soothe and reconcile and build up people instead of tearing them down. This is the new tongue of Pentecost. Spirit-filled people produce fruit. They're like trees growing by rivers of water. Their leaf does not wither, and whatsoever they do prospers. They are not like the ungodly, like chaff driven by the wind. They are the stuff of which real life is made. They produce a crop of righteousness and love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, patience, self-control. The change transforms the world from a bleak and barren desert into a beautiful garden. To be with them is sheer joy. It's a delight to be around when the fruit is being produced. Let people make fun, my friends. The Spirit has his day. This is his day. The Spirit of the Lord, says the introit for Pentecost, fills the world. He is about, and he is busy. He's doing exactly what Christ said he would do. When the Spirit comes, he will testify of me. That's what the Spirit is doing, telling people the good news of God as you have it in Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness from God for you, as Jesus Christ died for you. That's the Spirit talking. If it were not for the Spirit of God, the message would long since have died. There's new life from God for you in Jesus Christ. It comes by faith, and it acts by love. That mission would long since have died if the Spirit of God were not active in doing. The message and the mission is ours. It's yours to receive and to go with today, because the Spirit of God is talking and doing today. Pentecosts have come and gone since that day when the wind blew and the fire burned. It may look once in a while as if the wind has died down and the fire is burning low. Don't be deceived, my friend. Nobody can make fun of God. God is not mocked. Some said mockingly, "These men are filled with new wine." But God is not mocked. There have always been people like those at the first Pentecost who have asked, "What does this mean?" It's a good question. It means exactly what the rest of the book of Acts tells us. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ happen all the time through the power of God's Spirit. The wind is blowing and the fire is burning. Jesus has gone to the place of his lordship, and his Spirit has taken his place here on earth. It's just as Jesus said, "If I do not go away, the Spirit cannot come." Jesus went to his cross, to his grave, and then to his glory and to his Father. He went back home to God. By his going to Calvary, into that garden grave, and then triumphantly out of it again, and by his heavenly homegoing, God's Spirit comes richly and fully to enliven the lives of ordinary people like ourselves and to bring them Jesus. People brought to Jesus are brought to God. People brought to God have just got to be filled with his Spirit. Otherwise, they would not be there, trusting in God, hoping in God. These are real people, and they're alive. They are forgiven and forgiving. They are loved and loving. They are Spirit-filled. The Spirit of the Lord speaks to you, my friend. Listen to him and believe in Jesus, your Savior. The Spirit of God lights your fire today. and fans the flame with the wind of his power. Believe by the power of God's personal spirit and be saved. Amen.